Presenting sponsor of the My Hockey Live podcast is Sullivan Tire. Bob Sullivan started Sullivan Tire and Auto Service in 1955 with the aspirations to have a company that treated customers and employees like a member of the family. For over 60 years, we are still a family-owned business, and we continue on with this value. We've continued to grow and serve customers throughout New England. Our business consists of neighborhood auto service facilities, commercial truck centers, retread manufacturing facilities, a wholesale division, and a small company that install vehicle lifts, all serving the customer the way Bob Sullivan would have wanted. At Sullivan Tire and Auto Service, each and every person who walks through our door is important. No job is too small and no customer request too big. We will give you prompt, efficient, and quality work provided by highly trained professionals using state-of-the-art equipment. We strive to differentiate ourselves by offering exceptional service, brand-name tires and parts, and the best-trained staff in the industry. With locations throughout New England, go to SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there. Welcome back to the My Hockey Live podcast, and it's Brandon Hall and Jake Levin back at it again for the first time since, the Garden Preview last year. Jake, always good to talk to you.
Sounds about right. Yeah. I know, it's been 9 months.
It has been. It's really been that long. Wow. And a lot's happened since then. We had a lot of coaching changes. We had a lot of...
Just a few.
Of course, you got an entire senior class that graduates, an entire freshman class coming in for teams. We've got some impact freshmen and some impact seniors. Across the board, we've seen Jim Clark do his dream teams for Division 1, 2, and 3. We've got some games under our belt now. We finally got three, four games in for some teams in the state already. You've been in the ranks, Jake. What have you seen so far?
It is wild how some teams have already played three or four games, and we have a handful of teams that have still only played one. I kind of wish there was a uniform start date. We had teams playing as far back as, I believe, Thursday, December the 8th. And then there were a few teams that didn't open until this past Saturday, which would have been the 15th. So scratch that. It would be December 6th opening day, and then Saturday, December 15th. It just seems odd to stagger so many teams' starts that long. And there might even be a handful of teams that don't officially open until this Wednesday night, tomorrow night, which will be the 19th. So it's a strange schedule in that regard, but the majority of the teams, like you said, Brandon, we have a little bit of a sample size to go on now. And the team that's really caught my eye early here has got to be the Hingham Harbormen on the boys' side with a nice 7-0 win over Milton, a pretty good Milton program on opening night. I mean, that's the game Hingham should win, but 7-0 is still eye-opening. And then going on the road and beating St. John's Prep up in Essex, in Middleton, I guess, at the Essex Sports Center, 5-1. I saw Jim Clark tweet Hingham's first regular season win against St. John's since 2009. Now, that's the same year Hingham won the Super 8 title, I'm just saying. But really eye-opening, good first two wins for the Harbormen.
Yeah, 12 goals for, 2 goals against in those two games. And that's the way you want to start a season like that. It's a 7-0 statement win, gets you off on the right foot.
It is, and you graduate Cornack there between the pipes. And you know, Hingham almost always finds the goaltending, but that was one of the questions this year. Who's going to be the goalie? And through two games, Aaron Richardson sure looks the part. Granted, I haven't been at either of the games, just reading the recaps written by other people. But it, like you said, to allow, you know, as few goals he's allowed through two games, that's remarkable. And, you know, make no mistake, it gets no easier. It never does for Hingham. They got Central Catholic coming to town this Saturday for a 3:30 puck drop at Pilgrim. Then they got the Sereno tournament coming up next week. So all sorts of landmines for the Harbormen where they are going to get tested early and often. But through two games, definitely an A+, I would say. Zavarian's another team I think that has passed some early tests, some adversity at that. You know, Needham and Barnstable, two pretty good Division I South programs, fancy themselves. You know, his team's probably right on kin with Zvarian, I would say, in terms of being contenders in the D1 South. And Zvarian was down early against Needham. They came back and won 7-2. They were down 2-0 on the road against Barnstable, and they were on the road against Needham, too, to be fair. But that's only Babson, right there. They were all the way down the Cape, down 2-0 to Barnstable through two periods, and they came back and won 3-2, so that shows that, you know, never say die with this variant team. They returned a lot of talent up front. Josh Barton, Matty Ryan, the list really just goes on and on. So it's varying. I think a lot of is a team that's on a lot of people's Super 8 lists this year. I think they should certainly be one of the top 8 or 10 as it is with the play-in games. And through two games, I've seen nothing to make me rethink that statement.
So then you look at traditional powers. You've got Andover, who's already 2-0. They're 12 goals for, 4 goals against. And Canton, of course, 12 goals for and 2 against. You know, to kind of step back to what you had said about the unified schedule, the coaches really have a lot of autonomy in the schedule-making process. As far as the non-league stuff goes, as you know, a team like Hingham is entirely non-league because they play in the Patriot League and everything else, but they play independent in hockey.
Right.
But, you know, they can kind of make their schedule as they wish. For the rest of the teams, you know, sometimes you're kind of hamstrung by the league scheduler. The league scheduler might say, you guys are going to open up the first Saturday of the season. That Thursday is always the cutoff date for the MIA where it says, like, you can begin your games here. So this year it was the 6th. You know, you can play from the 6th up until that. Usually it's the Thursday of February school vacation. But going forward, like, you kind of hope that the scheduler maker does you a favor and doesn't start your league play till maybe the Wednesday after so you can get another scrimmage in, you get some more practice time. You know, you're looking at a schedule where you're trying to install a game plan or, you know, your systems, and you're trying to get a bunch of new kids on board or new people in new positions. Say, you know, your second power play unit's now your first power play unit from the year previous, and you're trying to get those guys going. Having that extra time is huge. I know we were always kind of stuck opening on that first Saturday, and I never felt like we were ready for it, personally.
Right.
You know, but going back, you know, you look at some of these traditional teams that are powers, generally speaking. You know, Andover and Hingham and Canton started out the way they would have expected, and a little on the unexpected side, you've got Foxborough, 12 goals for, no goals against. They're 2-0, and Dedham is 2-0. They're 12 goals for, 2 goals against, and one of Dedham's wins came against the Medway Mustangs. Now, Medway is a traditional power, and that's a nice win right off the bat in the Tri-Valley League for Dedham.
Well, I think it's Dedham year two in the TVL now starting to bear fruit. Is simply put, Dedham was too small for the Bay State Conference at this point, and that's in pretty much every sport. I think ask the football team how the move to the TVL has gone. They were all the way in the Division 6 South semifinals this year. Couple years after having only one win is a Bay State Conference team. So that's football, of course. But, you know, across the board, Dedham is starting to be more competitive. And I think in hockey, a sport where Dedham has had success in the past, back when it had a larger enrollment, you're really going to see it start to climb up the board again in multiple sports now that it's back on that so-called even playing field. I'm interested to see how Norwood does after it followed Dedham this season from the Bay State to the Tri-Valley League. Norwood lost its opener to a very good Westwood team, 3-1. I believe that game was 1-1 headed into the third period. And you got a new coach in Westwood, Matt Sebbett, pardon me if I'm mispronouncing that, taking over. And Chuck Allen, now in his third year at the helm of the Mustangs, he's gotten them to 18 and 19 points each of the last two seasons. So they're right on the cusp of breaking through and having a winning record in Norwood for the first time since 2013-14. So a full generation ago. None of these players right on that team know what it's like to have won, really, on a consistent basis anyway. So it's interesting how these league shifts can help programs. And I think we've seen it with Dedham. We're going to start to see it with Norwood at some point. Just shows you Westwood. It really doesn't matter what league they're in. They're always going to be a factor.
I mean, their streak is incredible, too, aren't they? They're in the 20-plus years straight of making the state tournament, correct?
I believe 30s. I want to say 35. Don't quote me on that. I know Jim Clark could tell us in 2 seconds. I believe it's 35 years.
That
so
is,
we got to go back to 1983.
I mean, that is just unbelievable. You look, I mean, every team in some way, shape, or form has some sort of dip at some point.
Absolutely.
I mean, there.
And it happened to the Hingham Harbin. I think as recently as 2014, they missed the tournament altogether, and then the very next year they go win the Division I state championship.
Right, and it's happened to BC. It's happened to CM. It's happened to all of these teams.
Happened to Malden Catholic a year removed, or 2 years, I guess, removed from a Super 8 championship. Out of the postseason entirely.
Right, right. It just that kind of level of success, especially from a public, is just remarkable.
Yeah, in a lower level, not to say not a lower level of hockey, but in terms of the division.
Right.
Westwood for a long time, Division Three, and now Division Two, even more impressive.
Yeah, and continuing with that, two and three, sort of on the in the south section. The city of Quincy right now is 5-0. You've got the North Quincy Red Raiders at three, sitting at 3-0, and the Quincy Presidents sitting at 2-0. Quincy with wins over Silver Lake and Plymouth North. North Quincy very strong so far with victories over Everett, Norton, and Pembroke. So interesting to see a little bit of a resurgence from the city of Quincy in hockey.
Certainly good to see. It's good to see a resurgence anywhere. But I know a couple programs that have been a little bit up and down of late, but two great longtime coaches in Matt Gibbons at North Quincy and Ted Walsh at Quincy proper. So, yeah, you know, it's good to see things ticking back up in that town, that city, I should say, in the Patriot League. It's, you know, just because Hingham's not in it for hockey doesn't mean it's a bad hockey league. You still got Duxbury. You still got Hanover. You still got, you know, Scituate. Mm-hmm. So it's always been a challenging league. And I think just because Hingham's not in it, that doesn't mean that, oh, the Hingham's too good for the Patriot League. I mean, in a sense, you know, the Hardman's program is just so strong. But there are talented programs in that Patriot League. And it's good to see some more than the usual suspects.
Right. And for a long time, Duxbury did the same thing that Hingham did. They were the, Division One independent team. Just going back to Scituate real quick, new coach there, Brian Hercom, taking over for a longtime coach. Oh, my goodness.
Mike Breen.
Mike Breen, I'm sorry. I did right there what Mike Breen does on a daily basis, which is forget things. Love Mike. Mike was the best to work with Mike all the time, but guy never once showed up on time to a single league meeting that I was a part of over probably 6 or 7 years. It was incredible. That streak is almost as impressive as the Westwood one. Brian inherits a pretty good, healthy program there. They started their season so far, they've played 4 games. They're 3-1, and they have defeated. They lost to Marblehead straight off the bat, but then defeated Brookline, defeated Whitman Hanson, and defeated Norwell.
That's a good Norwell program.
Yeah, and it's a good Whitman Hanson program too. They've also come back around a little bit.
Everything's coming up Scituate right now, and an unbelievable season in football. And obviously, not all of those football kids are playing hockey, but sometimes that can set the tone for the whole school year. If a fall sports team wins a state championship, sometimes that momentum just keeps on rolling into the winter and through the spring. And also, this Scituate program, they were in the Division II state championship game back in 2017, lost to Lowell Catholic, another team who I have seen. We'll get to them in a second. But yeah, Scituate, I don't think they're going to miss a beat with Hercom, his longtime assistant coach of the program.
Correct.
The Sailors are going to be just fine. And like I said, it's been a good year already. It's Scituate high, and no reason to think the hockey team can't keep it rolling.
Yeah, and going back to what you said there about an athletic department in general, you kind of saw that last year at Plymouth South. You see them,
sure.
Fall season is very strong. They have a very strong winter season with a state championship, and they rolled that into a strong fall spring season. The golf team was incredibly well coached and, had great success this year, kind of playing off of that. You kind of get this feel like that there's a level of success that's expected, like with what the Patriots have kind of done in New England in general, right? You know, that the Bruins feel the pressure a little bit, the Red Sox feel the pressure a little bit, the Celtics feel the pressure a little bit, that they have to be successful to kind of keep up. That they create this like air of success, I suppose.
That's very accurate. I don't know if it's the best analogy right now, right this second, given the tenuous times in Foxborough, but I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, makes complete sense.
Yeah. And you had mentioned a little bit earlier about Lowell Catholic. I know you did them, and was it St. Joe?
St. Joseph Prep. Yeah, it was a scores duel. It was like an NBA, Dominique Wilkins versus Larry Bird, except it was, you had Andrew Steffer for St. Joseph Prep. He only scored 2 goals, but he must have gotten off about 10 shots. And then it was Nick Doherty for Lowell Catholic. He had the hat trick, and Connor Doherty. He had the hat trick, and it just felt like two great scorers doing their thing. I guess in hockey terms, it'd be like Crosby going up against Ovechkin.
That was fun. Exactly what I was going to say.
Up and down the ice.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. It had that Ovechkin Crosby feel to it, where it's just shot for shot. Those guys are going back and forth. Pretty impressive that they both clean up the scoreboard themselves.
Right, and you got a new coach at Lowell Catholic, Aaron Creer, taking over for Tom Curran, and he's a former assistant as well, so familiarity with the program stays, and that, you know, familiarity is a good thing, believe me. So I think Lowell Catholic is certainly on the early list of contenders in Division II North. They should be right back, you know, maybe not necessarily at the Garden, but they're on the short list of teams that has a case to get there in the early going.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Kind of looking forward here, who do you like? I know this is a tough one. We did this last year at the beginning of the season. Put yourself in the position where, you know, we're up on the ninth level at TD Garden and we're watching two teams battle it out. Who do you think you're seeing there?
Well, I as somebody who has some input in the Boston Globe top 20 poll, I did have BC High number one and Pope Francis number two to open the season. That'd be a rematch of last year's Super 8 final. I know, hey, each team lost plenty of talent to graduation and transfers and all that. BC High returns all three Kramer brothers, which is remarkable. Thomas Kramer, who had, well over 50 points a season ago, now in his senior year, sky's the limit for him, while the Cardinals return Makem Demers. So there's no reason in the early going to think it's that out of the realm of possibility we could get a rematch. But the team we talked about atop this podcast, the Hingham Hartmen, I had them third in my poll. And, I was talking a little bit with Tony before the preseason, try to get a feel, where do the Hartmen belong? And, I'm not going to say where I had Hingham before, but after discussions with Tony, he felt as though that was a little low. So I recalibrated and I looked and I was like, wow, he's probably right. And then they've really backed it up, certainly with two wins, impressive wins in the early going. So Hingham, as always, in the conversation, but let's not forget Arlington. Let's not forget a very good Reading team this year that returned a lot of talent. And, still don't write off St. John's Prep just because they lost to Hingham, and Central Catholic, despite some of their transfers, they're always in the conversation. A lot of parity, I feel like, this year. There's a lot of teams I could talk myself into. I think the wild card races for the play-in spots are going to be wild. Zverian, I can't forget them, certainly. Marshfield maybe is a Division One, state championship finalist a season ago. They bring back almost their entire team. There's very few teams I can sit here and definitively write off, and it'd be foolish to in the middle of December.
Well, here's one for you too, and I think we first and foremost, I forgot to mention Division One state champion Waltham.
Sure.
Not to knock you, but they come off a Division One state championship. They've obviously got a very tough Dual Valley Merrimack Valley League that they're going to play in, and Andover, of course, off its first Super 8 performance. But lastly is St. John's of Shrewsbury going from Division Three. Out in the West, to now Division One independent, can they hang with the big cats?
I think so. I think they always have. I think because the Catholic West, really, the only difference in their schedule now is that they're not going to be playing for a league championship. They're not going to be finishing second to Pope Francis, is really all it comes down to. They always play. I mean, we see them at the MHL Cup. We're going to see them next week. They'll be taking on Zverian and then either Framingham or Marshfield. They play Marshfield again, independent of that. They play Hingham. They play teams up on the North Shore, whether that's St. John's Prep, Malden Catholic. So St. John's Shrewsbury, I think, is absolutely in the running for, one of those 10 spots. And they returned plenty from last year's team as well that was just shy. They did get into the Super 8. But, they certainly belong on the short list of contenders.
Yep, and to round that out, you've got some of the big Cape teams, Falmouth and Barnstable. They always tend to make some noise in the Division One South tournament. Falmouth's got Nick Champagne back. Yep.
Champagne.
Okay.
And they almost didn't have him back, but he's back now, and I think with him back, that elevates Falmouth from, a playoff team either way to now a team that could you know, go on a little run, I think, in the Division One South tournament. Much like we've sort of felt about Falmouth the last several years. I thought that 2017 team was a very good team to just run into a really tough matchup with Braintree. I think it was in the second round in the quarterfinals. And then last year, they got a terrible draw. You know, they faced Catholic Memorial as CM was the 15 seed, Falmouth was the 2. And, you know, if that doesn't scream for power seeding, I don't know what does. And another story for another time. No, Falmouth, always a playoff team. And, you know, any given year can go on a little run. I see no reason this year should be any different.
So let's move to Division Two. Looking in Division Two, you've got your traditionals, you know, like in the Tri-Valley League, you've got Medway and Medfield, Westwood, Norwood. Coming out of that, you got some Patriot League teams like your Plymouth South and Scituate. Some of the more surprise, I don't want to call them surprises, but basically like teams like Southeastern coming out of the South Coast Conference, Wareham Carver, Bishop Feehan. And then in the north, you've got like Middlesex League teams like Stoneham, who was, you know, won the South section, I'm sorry, the North section last year and lost in overtime in the state championship. And then a team like Lincoln Sudbury.
Sure.
Not to mention Lowell Catholic, the 2017 state champ. So Division Two, to me, seems like it's a bit more wide open than Division One. Where Division One, it seems like you got a, you know, a heavy focus on like maybe those six or eight teams that are traditional powers that are always in the mix. Whereas Division Two, it seems like every year it's going to be a different squad that's going to open eyes or is going to come out of nowhere. Like Plymouth South kind of came out of nowhere last year, even though we had them here.
Right.
Of course.
Well, they were a well-kept secret, I think, because they had never been there before. Not really.
Right, not
but,
certainly
you know,
not to that level.
If you were paying attention, you saw all the talent. You saw Sean Colbert and his crew. And so it was a surprise on a state level, but if you'd been paying attention, it really wasn't that surprising to see them go on a run.
Right,
so you just got to identify that team early on. You look for a class that's had you know, postseason appearances in the last several years in a lot of seniors. And that is often the magic formula. I think it was for Plymouth South. They had the goaltending as well. That doesn't hurt either.
Right, absolutely.
You look for the good goalie, the dynamic scorer, and a senior-heavy class. And that's really, those are probably the three biggest identifiers for a team that can go on a run. And still, it's an inexact science. But then you look at a team that's playing in a predominantly Division One league. So Stoneham fits that profile coming out of the Middlesex, where they're going up against Burlington and Reading and Arlington and whomever else. I didn't even mention Burlington when I talked about Super 8 contenders. So mea culpa here. I think Burlington absolutely in the conversation. And then you look at a team like Canton. It plays in the Hockomock League, and there's all three divisions represented in there. But they're going up against Franklin and some schools like that. So Canton, you know, they're always a factor, no question. I think Canton might be one of my favorites in the very early going coming out of the Division II South. And Stoneham, I know they graduated some talent. Who didn't? But they got some kids back as well.
Yeah, and they got Nick Feliciano back, and he was one of their big guns last year. I would have to agree with you. I got to say that Canton and Stoneham would be the early favorites. Given what Plymouth South has graduated, given a team like Westwood with new head coaches, I have to say Canton probably from the South and from the North. Yeah, probably Stoneham from the North. So if we were to move on to Division Three, now it gets a little dicier in Division Three. We have a lot of teams, we have a lot of co-ops. You got some new co-ops down there too, especially with the Dover Sherborne team, now a co-op. But you've got your traditionals like Hanover and Lowell that are generally kind of running the board. But then you've got a team like Hopkinton that comes in, or Holliston that has little breakthroughs. And strong showings from teams like Rockland. Rockland is there every single year. Mike Flaherty, and I was talking to Mike the other day, but Mike's team is strong every single year. And now he graduates his son, who was one of his top scorers.
Yeah, they graduated a lot.
Yeah,
of talent on that.
Yeah, and you know what? They do that every single year, but they're very competitive in their league. In the South Shore League, and they just play hard and they play tough in their own building, and they're hard to beat. They're hard to beat.
I'm with you there. But you mentioned Hanover, and for a team that got all the way to the Garden without a loss last year and only one tie all season, came up short, I would not want to face Hanover's wrath this season. I think Duxbury has already seen it when Hanover beat them 3-1 over the weekend. The Indians, as always, they're a team on a mission, and they feel wronged, I think, about last year's result at the Garden. Shrewsbury no longer Division III. They're now Division I independent, of course. For another story for another time.
Hey.
Hanover, they did they graduate some of their big guns? Of course, Zach Taylor gone, right. Connor Morris gone. Do you have Lucas Lanigan and Manning Morris back, Kevin Chandler back between the pipes? Hanover is absolutely a tournament team, not exactly a hot take there. They should be a Division III South finalist, bare minimum. Again,
right,
I would
right.
say that's probably the the floor for them. And they're just another one of these programs. They don't rebuild, they reload.
Yeah, Coach Johnny Haben actually graduated 15 seniors last year. But they've got Chandler back in net, and they've got Lanigan back up front. And honestly, in Division III, if you've got a goalie at the quality of Chandler and you've got a scorer at the quality of Lanigan, he's going to be just fine.
Exactly.
He can fill in the gaps.
I still think Hanover is going to be A-OK, and like they've always been here. Like they've always been. You know, they lost the state championship in 2014, came right back, got to the Division III. I believe they got to the Division III South Finals in 2015, won it all in 2016. And then in 2017, I believe they went out in the quarterfinals that year to Rockland. And we talked about this run of success Rockland's had. So Hanover, they're in it every single year. I don't expect anything different this winter.
Yep, and then in the north, you've got Lowell, who has won the sectional title in 2017, but then they were upset by Swampscott in the quarterfinals last year. They've got two-time All-Scholastic Thomas Hassett back with, just a deep team and returning goaltender Patrick Coate. So, you know, you look at a team like Lowell, they've got the experience. They've kind of run the board up north. Can they get to that point where they can compete with a team like Hanover that if Hanover's at its traditional level? I guess that's the big question.
Right. And it's been a while, I guess, since a Division III team from the north has really competed with a Division III team from the south. You know, you got your Long Meadows and your Shrewsbury's had been wreaking havoc in the tournament recently. Hanover, in 2016, and then 2015, your state champion in Division III. Geez, I'm drawing a blank here. But no, you're right. We're waiting to see who's going to come out of the North always and see if this can be the year somebody stands up to either, well, Shrewsbury's gone now, or Hanover, or whomever else.
Right. It's basically been the South against Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
in that regard, I mean, it's whoever's won. The Eastern Mass champ has come out of the South, and then they've gone up against Shrewsbury. That's basically
right.
What we've seen. And you've got a couple of new leagues that have been created. You've got this new Cape and Islands League with Martha's Vineyard, Cape Cod Tech, Mashpee, Monomoy, Nantucket, which should be interesting to see that. So we've got some other leagues that have kind of shrunk down. The Eastern Athletic Conference now down to, I believe it's three teams?
Three, yeah. Yep. Fionn, Stang, and Coyle and Cassidy.
Right. So that, in and of itself, that should be the new, I mean, that's really the new Big Three right there. It's like the Big Three Catholic Conference. If you were to take the
Something
Big East,
like that.
You know, like the Big East became the basketball conference, the Catholic basketball conference. It's basically what we're looking at here. Three really good Division III teams in a tough little league there. That would be, trying to play out of Bishop Stang, Coyle and Cassidy,
Stang, Fionn, and Coyle and Cassidy.
And Fionn,
yes.
Sorry, I forgot Fionn.
Well, I do wonder if
that could be your record could be 1-1-1
in
there.
Central.
Your record could be 1-1-1 coming out of that league. You could be
right.
A three-way champion for a league, and then they all make the playoffs because they all won the league.
Right. So, I'm just excited that hockey season is back in full swing, and really every Wednesday and Saturday from here on out right through the end of March is going to be action-packed.
Yeah, it really is. I get your take on a Division III team that you'd like to see playing in the Garden. Here we go.
Oh, it's Hanover.
You got Hanover?
Yeah, no question.
Yeah. I'd say it's some combination of, I'm going to go with H's, it's going to be Hanover or Hopkinton. And then from the north, I got to say it's going to be, I like Lowell.
I like Lowell, too.
I like Lowell coming out of the north.
I could see Hanover Lowell.
Yeah. Yeah, and with no Shrewsbury, you know, who knows?
Wide open.
Yep, we could have our first North champ in a long time. That basically wraps up the podcast for this week. Jake, again, thank you so much for joining. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Sullivan Tire, who's been with us for a long time now. If you haven't checked out My Hockey Live's broadcasts of games, please do that. We've got some great analysis on the air. We've got some great play-by-play guys like Jake, especially. Jake's our number one guy in my eyes. You're my number one guy, Jake. doing like quadruple duty right now, writing for the Globe, writing for NBC, Boston, interviewing Troy Brown every week.
Yeah, never a dull moment.
And I'm lucky to have been able to catch you in the car here on the call. So I do appreciate that.
Brandon, anytime, man.
Yeah. So we'll catch you next week on the My Hockey Live podcast. Thanks for tuning in.